Let's hear the jingle. No, it's not coming through.
In a world lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they just got a call from Robert Mueller. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Bill.
And welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. This is episode number 236.
Wow.
The show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Brand new songwriters, established professionals, has-beens, and all the rest. We share tips, tools, and techniques. And together, what do? We all become better at writing songs. We hope,
yeah,
right?
Sure, why not?
Love it.
I'm your host, Bruce Harrett.
Okay,
I'm your host, Bruce Harrett, and tonight joining me, as usual, the steadfast members of the Song Talk Radio team, Mr. Neil Modi. How was your day?
I'm pretty good, pretty reasonably busy, ready to rock steady tonight.
You sound tired.
No?
No, well, that's just your usual...
That's not my usual...
Oh, okay, great.
Deadpan voice.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. And here's Phil Emery over in the corner there.
I am terrible today. I left my phone at home and my my Kobo ran out of juice, so I have no idea what's going on out there.
No.
I mean, are people still falling in love?
You must be going through withdrawal.
I don't know what's going on.
I could lend you my Kindle.
And handling the social media channels over here, the lovely and exciting Vanessa Vreeland. She waves at herself. And putting it all together on the sound machine over here. I call it the sound machine. It's actually a mixing board. Linda Lavender.
Hi, Linda.
Sound machine sounds like a 70s funk band.
Yeah.
It's a great name, actually.
Soundgarden.
The sounds of sound machine.
During the show, hey, come on, let's get this show on the road here, shall we? During the show, send your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter or Facebook or feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share them with the audience in real time. Not fake time. And please stop by our website at songtalk.ca and find out how you could be a guest on our show. That's the place to listen to our show as well, of course.
Indeed.
Yes.
Yes.
Richard Hunting is a Toronto-based singer, songwriter, and guitarist. At the young age of 13, he studied pop vocals and classical guitar at the World Conservatory of Music, wait for it, in Uzbekistan.
Ooh, wow.
Did you know there was a Royal Conservatory in Uzbekistan? I did not know that.
That's a heck of a commute.
But then moving to Toronto. No, he lived there.
Moving to Toronto
as a teenager, he joined a guitar band, performed at high school events. He has also performed as lead singer with the Etobicoke Jazz Band, touring all over Etobicoke. And his first single, All Alone, will be released in just a couple of weeks on all major music sites.
Oh, very exciting.
So listen for that.
This is the exclusive debut, then, isn't it?
And one of the songs you'll hear tonight is called And I Will Do. And that was his first songwriting collaboration. And lucky us, he brought along his song collaborator. You know, we're always talking to the solo artist about collaboration. And they go, yeah, I collaborate. But Richard actually brought his collaborator, David Maravich.
Just to prove.
Yeah,
welcome, guys.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So, Richard, first of all, did you just get into songwriting in the last few years? Or were you writing at 13? Did you have any desire to start writing then?
I actually started writing when I was around 16 years old, and it was because of this girl that I fell in love with.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
and
yes.
It's a usual story, right?
Another one.
Yes. Was this in Russia? Was this in Uzbekistan?
It was back in Uzbekistan when I was in middle school, grade 7 up to 9, and after for a couple
you know,
years.
Those first in love songs, they can be so embarrassing.
Do you still remember it?
They were embarrassing. Yeah. I never listened to that song ever again.
No.
But
they're honest. They're really honest in a way that, you know, we don't normally get honest as we get older, I think, you know?
My first love song was painfully honest. I cannot and will not listen to it.
Oh, really?
But other people like it.
Oh, okay.
The very first love song I ever was a teenager was instrumental piano and strings, so.
Oh.
Very honest, yes.
That is very honest.
It was honest.
Did it work?
But not embarrassing.
Did it work?
No, it didn't work.
It never does.
No. Yeah. Musician.
By the way, if you're out there and you want someone to fall in love with you and you write them a song, it's not going to work.
Don't.
It never does.
Get them something that you can buy with cash.
A car?
Goods.
A car.
Jewelry. Words of wisdom.
Kitchen renovation, you know.
Box of chocolates. Anyway, so that didn't work out so well, but then you came to Canada. Did you write some more when you got to Canada, or how did that happen?
Yeah, actually, I wrote my first song called All Alone that is actually about to come out in 2 weeks from now, and there's an interesting story how I wrote it.
Write it recently, or has it been in the process for a few years?
It was in the process for a few years because I wanted to make it perfect.
Nice.
It's like
nice.
One of those songs that I wanted to capture the feeling, really capture the
what
feeling.
What was the feeling in the song you wanted to capture?
It's, you know, that feeling when you just move to another country and you feel very lonely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, you also, on top of that, you have, like, one problem after another.
Mm-hmm.
It's before things get settled, basically. Yeah. So
unsettled feeling, loneliness, alienation.
Yes.
Yeah, depression. Mm-hmm.
Did you move here by yourself or with your parents?
I moved here by myself. My father is actually living here for, like, 15 years now.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a family reunion kind of thing. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, amazing.
So even though you had your dad here, you still felt cut off from all your friends back home? Was that the feeling?
Yeah, I definitely felt that in the first couple of years. It was tough.
How was your English when you arrived?
Sat in front of the books and, like, you know, was learning grammar, like, books for, like, days after days.
Right.
That's how I got better.
Okay, sure. So was
but
that
I wasn't good at English when I...
Because your English now is amazing.
Yeah, it's
thank
very
you
good.
Very much.
Yeah,
appreciate
it's
it.
Like I would not know that you were not... You
native
know.
Speaker?
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually listened to a lot of English music when I was growing up, so that helped my ear, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, how
for
about
sure.
it, like the... There's... Kazakhstan has a very rich... History of Uzbekistan. Sorry,
Uzbekistan. Different.
I don't know. Hopefully, I didn't start a war.
not
but
yet.
But it has a very rich history of folk song with really unique melodies. Does that kind of work into your songs at all?
Folk songs?
Yeah, like because they have certain melodies.
What
certain
are the folk
kind
songs
of
Uzbekistan?
Approaches to their native music.
Actually, our music is. Sounding very like kind of Eastern, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So like it kind of sounds like Turkish music. If you guys ever heard Turkish music,
balalaika.
Yeah, it's kind of
stringed instruments.
We have pop music as well. It sounds like Persian pop.
Mm. Oh, right.
So it's kind of that kind of vibe.
But they're using slightly different scales sometimes and things like that. Like the melodies have a certain character to them.
Oh yeah,
that maybe we don't necessarily.
So just for all those folks who don't have a clue about geography.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Uzbekistan compared to Russia? It's east of Russia, yes?
Yes, it's southeast from Russia. It's neighboring with Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, and then Afghanistan as well. And it's used to be part of USSR.
Right.
So people in the capital, like half of the population speak Russian.
Oh.
And the rest speak Uzbek. And in other cities, we have some people speaking Farsi as well.
Oh,
wow. Does everybody get along okay though, or do they coexist, right? Or
oh yeah, they're
happy.
They totally coexist. Yeah. It's kind of like I actually never been to Montreal, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like you know, it's French speaking and English speaking.
Speaking Montreal, yeah.
No, okay.
We can talk to each other, but if you don't know at least a little bit of the language, it will be like difficult to make a conversation.
So you started this song all alone, but when did you decide that you wanted to collaborate?
Collaboration actually was like one of the first things that I did after that song, All Alone.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I actually met you guys at the
Songwriters
Meetup.
Yeah.
At Transact.
That was about 3 years ago then.
It was 3 years ago.
Okay.
Oh, great. Cool.
And I actually met this guy over there. He played one of his greatest songs called Dark Side. And after that, like, he saw me performing. I was the only guy in the audience who actually played a cover in a songwriter meetup.
Right.
I know how pathetic it sounds, but I really wanted to perform. It was my first year in Canada. So I played Metallica, Nothing Else Matters. And this guy is my friend David. He's a big fan of Metallica. So that's how we bonded.
Instant connection.
Nice.
Yeah, that is the first reason that I reached out and why we're still working together years later, even though we found additional value, but you got to start.
So how many songs have you guys written together?
We're currently working on about 4 altogether.
Okay.
We've got 1 completed and we've got 3 more in the pipeline right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really proud of the work that we've done so far. I think we've done some interesting stuff. I think our styles really, you know, they support each other. I've got one very particular type of songwriting style, and Richard has another. Maybe we'll get some more into that. But
yeah, tell us a bit about your background. You came from a metal band, right, originally?
A
rock band?
I wasn't a metal band before. Mm-hmm. I am a Toronto transplant as well, but not from as far away. I'm from Edmonton, Alberta. And I actually started a few bands myself, one a metal band, one a rock band, about 12 or 13 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. And really, really loved it, but there was a certain point where I couldn't focus as much on my music and really just wanted to kind of switch around the focus of a few different things in my life. And that's when I moved to Toronto. Mm. And rather than cutting music out completely, I figured I would, you know, work with the great talent that we have around Toronto. And and I know, you know, just looking at this room right now, that I actually met the three hosts in my first week living in Toronto at the Songwriters Cafe at the time.
At Markham Street.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I had no songs. I had nothing. I just showed up. And you guys were very, welcoming. And we're 6.5 years later and we're still here talking music.
Holy
so
smokes.
We're doing nice something here. Right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people may not know that the three of us, three hosts on this radio show actually started. We all met at Songwriters Meetup. And we were asked by Ryerson Radio to put a show together, and that's almost 5 years ago now.
So 5 years.
So that's great.
Well, now, what is your songwriting process like? Are you starting off with coming up with chords, and then you come up with a melody, or do you start off with your lyrics, or?
Good question. Actually, most of the time, I just sit every day. I try to write, a good riff, guitar riff, and then whatever sticks out. I just write lyrics to it, but it doesn't usually work that way. Sometimes I just start writing lyrics, and then I hear the melody in my head, and then I start trying to plunk the guitar, get to get the right chords, and write the right melody.
Are you always conscious of, you want a harmony between the two? Like, if the guitar riff you come up with is kind of dark, do you then write dark lyrics? Or do you ever do this? I've done this in the past where I write something on the piano, for instance, and then I have some lyrics that I wrote separately, and maybe they don't have the same flavor to them. Oh. And then you put them together, and it becomes kind of a contrast. Or are you always conscious about, if I write something dark or light, I'm going to follow it up with a lyric that's dark or light? Or the inverse, if you write a dark or light lyric, do you then write a guitar riff that's sort of supports
it? Do you start with a riff, usually?
Usually I start with a riff, but that's a good question. Mm. Actually, most of the times, I write the whole thing all together, because I find that once you start writing and then you stop writing, you might lose that inspiration and that idea that you have in your head.
Right.
At the moment.
Cause okay, so you write a little bit of a riff, then do a melody, lyric, kind of back and forth.
Yes.
That's or do you actually...
I never done actually mix matching, you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, like two separate things. And
I would love to try, yeah.
But I'm still confused about, so you get the riff, so you're creating melody and a feel and a chord structure. Mm-hmm. Do you go full through on music only, and once that's all done, which is what Phil does, then add the lyrics as the last thing, or are you starting to add lyrics as you create the song?
Actually, good question.
Thank you.
I know I repeat myself too much.
That's all right.
First time, but
we're just full of good questions.
They're all good questions.
So, what do? Do you wait till the very end for lyric, or you start bringing them in as you write the song?
I actually bring them in as I write the song.
Okay.
But the riff that I play has to be kind of unique. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't even get into that.
And is the riff usually the chorus? Is it usually the hook or chorus, or not necessarily the riff?
The riff might be like a verse riff or like a chorus riff, you know. Doesn't really matter. Once it has like a good tasty riff sound, and I could just write the whole.
I think that's a good point, because some people, I think they say, I want to write a song, and they'll just put some chords down. And I think what you really need is to write a good song is you have to play around and find chords that inspire more ideas, as opposed to, okay, well, here are three chords.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, especially people who are starting off, they'll just go, okay, well, here are three chords, and I'll try to work with that. Mm-hmm. That's better than nothing, but really what you want to be doing is constantly exploring your instrument and trying to find chords or musical signatures that kind of inspire you to bring in more ideas. And I think that's how you actually build up a really good song.
Mm. We're we're going to listen to And I Will Do First, right? Mm-hmm. So let's bring in just for a couple of minutes here the collaboration process. So did somebody bring lyrics to somebody? Did you sit in a room together and start building? David, what was your experience?
So it really does vary track by track. I mean, my songwriting approach is quite a bit different from Richard's in that I tend to write many different pieces and then kind of put it all together into a library and then kind of fit them together at a later date.
Okay.
Mm. That's not what I've always done in the past, but I find it's a little more efficient time-wise right now if there's not as much time in the day to record.
Right.
So what I would do is I would take a couple of different parts that I felt like might have some chemistry with one another, whether it's chord-wise, transition-wise, finger-picking-wise, put them together and then bring them to a lyricist, to a vocalist, and see if he's able to come up with some type of great vocal melody that's going to complement.
Oh, so that's what you brought to Richard for this song?
For this particular song.
And then you added some words. Did you have an idea of what the subject matter was when you brought it to him, David?
No, and that's a beautiful thing about this type of collaboration, because I'm not trying to bring any baggage with it. I'm just a guitar player on this one.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to write all the words, and it's going to be our song.
You don't even have a title when you bring
it. No title, nothing.
It's just a piece. Now when he starts writing the lyric and the melody, the top line, as they say, do you then, do some of your musical ideas then change off of that, or does he basically go off of what you had already done?
It's constantly, it's all about the give and take.
Yeah.
As soon as I hear the first couple of words, if I'm like, no, whoa, wait a minute, you know, maybe I'll give my 2 cents. But really, it's something that's constantly changing and evolving. And this particular song probably went through 4 or 5 different rewrites before it was in this current form.
Let's have a listen to this song, and then we'll come back and we'll be able to take it apart a little bit and ask you some specific questions about the structure, the lyric, etc. So this is a collaboration between, it's called And I Will Do, words by Richard Hunting, music by David Maravich.
Thank you.
we're back. And that was And I Will Do, words by Richard Hunting, music by David Maravich.
Cool track.
Really, yeah, great track.
I like that. I wanted it louder here in the studio, but I didn't want to, you know, bother the neighbors.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, that one should be cranked loud with the heavy guitars going there. So the first thing I noticed was some really cool rhyme things happening there in the verse. Perfection, fiction, miracles, unforgivable. So you're not worrying about it being perfect rhymes, you know, like day and may and say. Time and mind, go and you. And so I really like that. It gives it a nice looser feeling. You've also got a single chorus followed by a double chorus after the second verse, which is interesting. And following along the lines of a lot of songs now, it jumps quickly to the chorus, like one verse and into the chorus. The old style was, as I've been listening to old songs on Spotify, they do a long instrumental intro for the DJ to talk over and count down into the first verse. Then they do two verses and then the chorus can. But now we're trying to sell songs, which are all singles now. They jump to the chorus quickly, to the hook. And I think you did that well. Neil?
Don't bore us, get to the chorus.
Well, that's the line.
Hey,
yeah.
that rhymes.
Well, yes, it does.
You must be
that's
a
why
songwriter.
It's catchy and memorable.
So, what'd you think? What'd you notice?
Yeah, yeah, I liked the I like the kind of structures in the verse. Like you still believe in miracles, like true love, fortune, and perfection. Like extend the line, and then tell you that it's a fiction. You extend that line, which is kind of cool because it's one thing. Especially beginner songwriters, like there's four lines in the verse. They tend to all have the same melody. Right, but you guys are actually like varying the melody within the verse. So there's already a bit of variety and a bit of change happening. And the chorus I found was interesting. Buried all the time, everywhere in my mind. So that's a soft assonance rhyme. I couldn't let my life go back to where I loved you. So then the rhyme isn't as strong at the end of the chorus. And I was really expecting a strong rhyme to really cap off the chorus because it's pretty catchy.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering where that decision came from.
Maybe that's a good thing because you expected it to be something and it didn't happen. That.
Yeah.
So
by the time you hear it the second time, you're like, yeah, okay, I can dig it, right? But
did you consider a more
perfect rhyme there?
Normal rhyme or perfect rhyme? Or no, this was the words you found first.
Honestly, that was like one of like first songs. It was like literally second song that I wrote in English, which is my second language.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just played off the vowels here. Mm-hmm. It's like I grew up listening to Linkin Park, and if you listen to him saying me, he says may.
May.
Yeah. So I kind of worked with that. Yeah. So it was intentional. But I did what I could in terms of rhyming and songwriting at the time with my abilities.
Right, I have to admit, I'm pretty impressed, you know, for someone whose English is as a second language and a fairly recent acquisition. Mm-hmm. Somewhat, you know, it's not like you grew up since the age of two speaking English. I think it was fairly recent acquisition. The lyrics are really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm always amazed that people can do that. Someone who struggles with lyrics in my native language, you know.
Yeah.
But I loved like the way the chorus developed. You had your first chorus, and then you had a double chorus, and at the end you had like a longer chorus, you know, repeated with some variations within it, which I thought was really cool. And you had some nice, nice taglines. It didn't sound like every other sort of pop song. You know, it's nice when stuff is a little bit sort of out of the ordinary. I think, you know, this might be a little bit of an older style, but I think that's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. You know, like
glad to hear that.
Yeah, like
me
a lot
too.
Of.
I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah, because a lot of stuff tends because all songwriters are influenced by the people they listen to. So if you're listening to a lot of, you know, Katy Perry and Shawn Mendes, your stuff's gonna sound, you know, kind of the same, and your stuff doesn't sound like that. And it was kind of a nice refrain. It sounded, you know, almost, you know, 2000-y. I don't even know what they call that.
Millennialist.
You know.
I thought it sounded kind of 90s, like 90s alternative.
Yeah, which is great.
You mentioned Linkin Park,
Oasis,
right?
Maybe
kind of Oasis.
I was thinking, you know, maybe more of an esoteric band, but Oasis would be a good.
Yeah,
you know, well known
and well done doing that.
Yeah, it's but it was actually a really strong song and very catchy. You know, and I was very impressed with all the little sort of details you put into it. So I thought it was a very successful outing for that song.
You're the title police. Is that the right title? Because we only hear "And I Will Do" twice.
I would have called it "Buried All the Time."
Mm.
Yeah, I have to admit.
Because you, usually the title is the hook, hook, line, and sinker. No, it's the line, is the line that is ending the chorus or it's in the chorus. And I like the line, I do, I did, and I will do. I do now, I did before, and I will do in the future. I guess that's what that meant, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought that could be something, if you hadn't recorded it and I was going to rewrite it with you, I would play up that, because that is a really cool line.
Yeah,
you know, I do, I did, and I will do. I'd be hammering that through the whole thing because it would be really hooky as hell.
Well, it's very much of a statement. It's a very kind of declarative statement.
Yeah, yeah, but the title, just the plain title, and I will do, is kind of incomplete.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, and so. I always, certainly, you know, Mike McInnes and I have this argument almost every time we get together, is about what the purpose of a title is. And I think, you know, people are going to call the song what they're going to call it. You can call it, you know, I like refrigerators, but people might call it I love you. You know, it kind of doesn't matter because it's the title isn't really for the songwriter.
Yeah.
It is for the listeners, and the listeners are going to call it what they're going to call it.
Yeah. And tell them why it's important, Phil. True.
Well, because people are going to be typing in what they think is your song in a search engine.
Yeah,
and your lyrics may not be cataloged,
single now.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
but that being said, that being said, if most of your songs are title is clear and they search it, and then this happens to be something else in your Spotify playlist, then they will stumble upon it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like it's a hard and fast rule that every single song has to be like that. I think the majority of your songs should be where the title is clear and anyone can find it.
You think "Buried All the Time" would be a good title? I think, in keeping with the mood of the song, which is you felt really, I don't know, what did you feel? Buried all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although for our listeners,
I couldn't let go. I couldn't go back. Right?
If any of our home listeners have suggestions, what we think of this title debate, whether or not we should
You can get the lyrics on the website.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can take a look at that.
Look at that.
That'd be great,
guys. What you think. But especially, I think the first time someone hears a song, you should sort of, don't even tell them what it's called. Just say, what is that song? What do you think it's called? And they'll tell you, right?
Yeah,
that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Maybe too late now that you're releasing on the. We do have a tweeter.
We got a tweet in from Sharon. You guys should put together all your first love compositions and make a mixtape. Girls know a mixtape from a new boy is a sure sign of love. Not in a million years.
Thank you, Sharon.
It was embarrassing one time. It's
okay. Well, we're going to take a break in just a couple seconds, and then after this break from our sponsor.
And for those of you just joining us, you are listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, streamed on songtalk.ca. And tonight, we are talking to Richard Hunting and David Maravich. Please don't forget, we love to hear from you. Please tweet in your thoughts or questions to us at Song Talk Radio. Send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we'll share your questions with the audience, and you'll be a star just like us. You know, you can find the links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned here on Song Talk Radio on the resources page at the website. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, on September 4th. Can you believe it's September 4th already?
School's back, boys and girls.
Oh, it's true. Singer, songwriter, and harmonica virtuoso Harpin Norm Lucian. And September 11th, the very talented Julian Taylor. You know, and if you happen to be in the Toronto area, and you really should be, why don't you join us for the next Songwriters Meetup on Sunday, September 23rd from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Transat Club. Transat Club's at Bloor Street West and Spadina area, more or less. It's on Brunswick Street. It's free to join and free to attend. Just stop by songtalk.ca for the link to the Songwriters Meetup and let us know you're coming. And that's all we have. Back to you, Brucey.
Over to you, Neil.
All right. And this week's definition, musical definition, is the word cadence. We all know what a cadence is. According to this dictionary, it's when everyone hopes you're going to stop, but you don't.
I thought that was a coda. It's also a coda.
It could be a coda, I suppose. Yeah.
Cadence. I knew a close harmony singing group called Cadence.
So I was actually wondering more about the collaboration aspect. You say you guys went through 5 revisions or more, potentially. I mean, I don't know where you draw the line between this revision and that revision. Sometimes it's blurry. But can you guys just talk a little bit about how the different versions came about for the song?
Sure thing. I mean, I can quickly talk on that. I know that you guys picked up on a few really interesting parts, like the single chorus and then the double chorus.
Yeah, it was nice.
We're always going through our songs and looking for a way to make them the most effective that they could possibly be in terms of a modern audience, but also hanging on to some of those retro elements. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the song was rewritten quite a few times. It was primarily trying to maintain that retro feel through the production while also keeping things moving along as fast as possible. Because we know that people don't have the attention spans that they used to for the 30-second guitar, acoustic guitar intro.
That's true. Right?
We were talking about this before. You, Phil, you were mentioning about Spotify and other streaming services. Like, unless it's within, if someone skips a song within, like, the first 45 seconds, then it doesn't count as
that's
a play.
Right, yeah.
Or
yeah,
something. There's some measurement like that.
Yeah.
You got to hook them fast. And,
yeah. You can actually, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but slightly branch topic, you can actually buy, there's companies that will, you can actually buy Spotify plays for you, as well as YouTube views or blog views. It's like for, I think, $100, you can get like 25,000.
It's always been around, but it looks a little funny if someone has 50,000 views and no comments. I think people are onto that these days.
I saw something else on social media somewhere where it said if you want to support your singer songwriter friends or your friends that are in a band, just start your computer overnight when you've got unlimited internet access. Your ISP is not charging you for bandwidth, and just put their playlist on repeat and just let it run all night.
multiple
plays.
You don't even have to have your
speakers. You don't even need marketing. Any marketing?
Marketing.
It's the secret of success.
Yeah.
So when talking about hooks, we had a Los Angeles writer here who had a couple of hit songs. I guess it was last summer, Shelley Pikin. And she was saying that people are now having a minimum of three hooks in every song. So they have a lyric hook, they have a riff hook, and they might have a melodic hook or a beat hook. Generally, it's beat hooks, right? Because they have the people who put down the beat, the bed tracks. And they're now calling the person who does this little afterthought called the melody and the lyrics, top liners. So the guys who really create, it's this team that creates the bed track, right, with the beats, the thing that's really going to sell the thing. Yeah. And then it's a whole new world in modern music. Mm-hmm. But so, you've got some nice guitar hooks in there, and you've got other hooks in there as well.
Yeah, that's not to discount the value of a top liner. I mean, the melodies are what sells the song.
Oh, it's really important. Yeah. I was just saying that it was a bit like, it's kind of turned it topsy-turvy.
Engineered now. I think a lot of pop is quite engineered. And I have to admit, the stuff, I think there's a difference between something being well-crafted and being engineered, and your stuff felt well-crafted.
As opposed to well-engineered,
where people are trying to...
Can you tell when a Taylor Swift song was written by five people or a Shawn Mendes song is written by five people rather than one or two? Can you really tell? Because some people say, it sounds like it was written by committee,
Yeah. I think sometimes. I mean, if they're like, it depends on how successful they are. Is it
true?
I mean, a lot of music, and this has been true since the beginning of time, is just for the time it's done. There's lots of one-hit wonders in the 40s and the 50s. Listen to now and go, wow, that's not a good song. But there's other stuff that has lasted all through the decades. So
right, doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So there's some stuff that's going to be engineered and it's going to be great for now, but in 5 years you won't want to listen to that.
Everything has its place.
Yes. Mm.
So when you said David, you and Richard are working on some other projects now, so are they at various stages of development, and you go and when you meet, you revisit them? Or?
Yes, all the time they're at various stages. They've all been demoed at this point.
Oh, okay.
We value the time of all the people that we work with, and quick shout out to Audio Insurgency, Alon Rodovinsky, and Ivan Popov. I know that they've done a lot of great work for different artists in the city, and what makes them different is they're in it for the music, right? So they're willing to make it very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when we're going into their studio, we want to respect their time and not come in and say, do you guys have any ideas?
Right.
You want to know what you're laying down.
So you've done a demo and you've sent it to them before you get there, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, before we would track it, they would have a demo and we wouldn't have already exchanged all the notes.
Excellent.
That we need to.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. That is a good idea if you've never been into the studio before, is to actually do a couple of test recordings if you're doing with a band, take a cassette recorder or a phone and put in your rehearsal space and try recording that way a couple of times just to get used to it. Because when you go into the studio, you are paying by the hour.
I really think it should be mandatory. I mean, I would imagine all of us have been in a recording studio environment at least once with a person that hasn't done it, and they can't write on the spot. It's too much.
Oh, it's too much pressure.
Yeah, so you've got to build up to
Even
it.
When I work as a producer, I always ask my clients, just record the thing on your phone really quick, just guitar and vocal or whatever it is, send to me just so I have some idea what it is. And I know that they've got at least the song together.
Although, apparently, famous Canadian songwriter Jane Sibrey, apparently she's famous for coming into the studio with nothing.
Well, if it works for you.
Yeah. Well, if you've got a budget.
She has a budget. Yeah.
I mean, the clock is ticking, right? Most young songwriters like Richard here, or a lot of our listeners who are going out for the first time, they're usually going to be doing it in a home studio or somebody else's home studio at a realistic rate, like a more nominal rate. I mean, it used to be $300-$500 an hour even in a big studio. Yep. So you're going to have big budgets, and they don't exist anymore, I don't think, except for the superstars, right?
Yeah, and even then.
Even then.
Hear another song?
Well, let's hear another song. Enough of this gabbing here. This is All Alone, and this is the words and music by Richard.
He wrote this one all alone?
All alone.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a listen.
Sitting all alone, the darkness surrounds me, the skies are all gone, everything left behind me. I wonder if I were gone, would anyone care about it? I'm just dying, I'm just crying, I just can't keep living all alone. That's my destiny. I don't wanna let it be, 'cause I wanna live. Even though I'm just dying, I'm just crying, I just can't keep living all alone. We'll be right back.
Okay, that was All Alone, Words and Music by Richard Hunting.
Wow.
Hey, if Epic. That was my first song, I would be very proud.
Yes, it was the first song you ever wrote?
Yeah, that's my first song in English. It's technically second song after that girl dumped me.
Right.
Okay, fair enough.
Good times, good times.
And you said you were inspired by a Nina Simone song?
This song was inspired by the song called Feeling Good by Nina Simone.
Okay.
Beautiful song.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a jazz, a little bit of blues rock kind of vibe.
Yeah, well, it has a bit of a 3/8, 6/8 swing feel to it almost. It's not straight rock and roll.
That was intentional.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it certainly brought, we were talking about it, reminded me of some of Aerosmith back in the same day. And if you're not familiar with Aerosmith's back catalog and you're a songwriter, you should be. Mm. They are some fantastic songwriters. But I love you had a guitar solo.
Yeah.
And not many people do guitar solos anymore. It's something that's kind of been lost in modern music. So it was nice to actually hear that again. And also, I love the ending. You had, instead of just ending it the way I think a lot of bands would.
Yeah.
You had the little acoustic bit at the end, which I kind of added a nice little sort of touch. I mean, again, a little bit of an older style, but I think it's actually quite fresh now because it doesn't happen that much.
Well, actually bookends it with the intro, right?
Yeah.
It kind of brings it back to the beginning of the song
in
some ways, right?
I love that stuff.
Which is it's a great little touch.
Yeah.
I love
Nicely
that stuff.
Done. Nicely mm-hmm. done.
Wow. I'm actually impressed by your ability to break down the song. It's incredible. I totally agree with you.
And this one, you took a long time to get to the chorus.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was, I wanted this song to be an experience, mm-hmm. to like go through fountain of emotions, because mm-hmm. that's how I felt at the moment when I was writing it. I was kind of a little upset, and I wanted to capture that feeling.
Well, it certainly got this, the energy map is fantastic, because it starts out slow, it builds a little bit, then it erupts into this gigantic thing, and then dies down again at the end.
Yeah.
And it's got a great ride, you know?
Yeah, it's a roller coaster.
I talk a lot about the story arc, like when you're telling a story, you have the beginning of a story, which is the exposition, or you're just setting the scene, and then the rising action and a turning point, which is the crisis of a story, of any story, and that's the high point where you really hit the top, maybe in your guitar solo. Mm-hmm. Then you bring it down for what's called a denouement, which is the ending, right? A quieter ending. Denouement. It's French. Denouement. But obviously he's got the right title. I would say this song called All Alone.
The title's no doubt on this one. And a really strong bridge. There was something I was going to comment on the first song, is that I kind of wish that first song had a bridge.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not very good at writing bridges, but
this one is
exception.
Did you struggle with this one?
No, I actually didn't. It was just came to me. Like there was so much inspiration at the time.
So let's explain to our listeners what we talk about here a lot in Song Talk Radio is contrast between verse and chorus, and then contrast of the bridge, contrasted to those two things. It's a third thing, and it's quite different, either in terms of its chord progression, its beat, its melody, its lyric, whether it's legato or still staccato. And I saw a lot of changes. Neil, what did you see, the changes that came when the bridge came?
Well, production-wise, it was quieter. It was like less stuff going on.
Yeah.
And there were some chord changes there for sure.
Was there a new chord that wasn't in the song before?
I'm not entirely sure. No. Can you inform us?
Would
to
you know if
was?
You brought
was
in
that a whole different...
A new chord in the bridge that hadn't been heard before in the song previously?
In the bridge?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
All those chords were not there, I think. Like
they weren't in the previous
song. They weren't
part
in the verse
song.
Or the chorus.
Yeah, I wanted to change it up completely. But
you also changed the rhythm, probably, either because you're new to do that or instinctively. And you also made the words more, I'm waiting for you. Like previously, the
notes
lyrics
were longer. Yeah.
Yeah, legato. It's called stretched out, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you've done about three or four things that made the bridge stand out, and I think that's why it was noticed as a beautiful part of the song.
Right.
Because I think, for me, I don't know about you guys, but to me, it's keeping them entertained and engaged through the whole thing. Now, 3 minutes doesn't sound like a long time, but if you've got another 1,000 songs you could be listening to, you want to keep entertaining. And I think I want to give you a kudos here, because you've kept the song interesting every step of the way. And that is really difficult to do.
And there's another big reason the bridge works the way, as well as it does, because before it, you've got a chorus that sings All Alone, All Alone, All Alone, All Alone, right. times two, and then you get a guitar solo, and then the rest of the song is All Alone, All Alone, All Alone. So you got to inject some other words in there somewhere, right? And that sort of piques the interest again of the listener, right? To say, okay, we've got the All Alones, now we're going to put in some other content, like real actual content stuff, and then go back to the All Alone, so that's the other reason that it stands out.
Have you performed it live, Richard?
I actually did, and honestly, when I performed it live, people really liked it. Some people even liked it more than the recording.
Just acoustic guitar or electric?
Just acoustic guitar and voice.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love, see, that's the test. We always say this on Song Talk Radio. Yeah. If you can strip it down to a voice and a piano or voice and guitar and it still holds up, right, David? You've got a song.
Right. For sure.
So when you perform this with acoustic guitar, what do you do for, like, you're strumming full for the chorus, I assume?
No guitar solo.
Yeah,
no guitar solo, but what do you do for the bridge? You just do finger pick or do you...
For the chorus, I do just not just down strokes like here.
Yeah.
I do like a hot, like active strumming.
Right.
And for the
down
bridge, I do the active strumming again, like up and down, up and down.
So you keep the energy high in the bridge then?
Yeah, because if I start plunking, it's not going to be full band sound is always better, right? So I just wanted to keep it a little more noisy, a little more busy.
All right. Yeah.
Do you find that you can learn something by exposing the song to an audience? Do you get a feedback of any kind, even if it's just a sense that you've got them, you've got their attention?
Yeah, once I was performing at this bar, and basically one guy, I was playing a few covers, because it was one of those bars where nobody pays attention. Everyone's super loud.
Yes, I've played them. Have you all played them?
Oh, yeah.
It's an experience.
Yeah, sure.
So everyone was talking loudly and, you know, to each other, and you get there on stage, and you have to, like, get their attention. And how you do it? If you play originals, nobody's going to care, unless you have really good covers in there. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I finished my set with All Alone, and some guy approached me and said, you know, this last song was amazing, he said. Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything about the covers.
Nice. Great. There you go.
Yeah. That's good.
Nice. I like it when they say, who wrote that? Because they think it's somebody famous, right?
Oh, my God.
I've actually had that once.
I'm actually curious. What did you borrow from the Nina Simone song? Something specific.
It's the chord progression. If you listen to the verse, it's kind of chromatic. It goes dun 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 dun.
I love chromatic chord changes. Like my favorite song, My Funny Valentine, is that way.
I figured you guitar players don't do the chromatic thing so much. Piano players do it all the time.
I do.
You do it on the guitar?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I went through a whole sort of chromatic
phase.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I've grown out of it.
But you got out of that. Yeah. Yeah, that was the same as in high school. You went through that monochromatic stage.
That's right.
You only wore black.
I did that twice. So I did
Well, back then, everything was in black and white.
That's
true.
You
know. Hey. That was the 50s.
Not that old, no. It was all in really bad color.
We have all the decades represented here, believe
me. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
It's true.
Except the 40s. So what's next? What's next for you? Are you going to Richard? Are you going to continue to write songs on your own as well as collaborate? Like, have you got some in the mix that you're currently developing?
Yeah, actually, I'm working on this song called "Give Me a Chance," and also "You and Me" and "Make New Friends." I have a few songs coming up, and I've been working on them for a few years now, and I can't wait for you guys to hear. Mm-hmm. It's a little different genre, so I'll keep you guys entertained.
Are all your ideas coming from like emotional, like your own personal life, emotional stuff, or do you pull from other places as well?
I try to do a little bit of everything, but mostly myself. Like, I capture my feelings very well. That's what I think. And
are you going to plan? Do you have any plans like to write a song to try to find the right girlfriend? Or have you abandoned that?
We've already established that doesn't work.
Okay. Once bitten, twice shy.
But you know what? We're musicians. We're emotional human beings. You have to do that. You have to get out there. If like relationship doesn't work, at least you'll get a good song.
I'm
not Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't hate me.
Very true.
I'm not going to date people just to get good songs. But if a good song can come out of it, why not?
That's not a funny thing to say, because actually Elvis Costello said as he got older, the one thing he realized he had to stop doing is he had to stop screwing up his life so he would get good songs.
Was it he was consciously screwing up?
I think he sort of realized he was sort of...
He was doing that unconsciously.
Wasn't it that he was in a long, stable relationship and he needed to break up so he could write a good song?
Well, I think what it was is just that, you know, you get used to sort of a certain amount of drama and a certain amount of upheaval, and that sort of allows you to generate ideas.
You don't need that. You really don't. Like, I mean,
and then he met, you know...
Dana Crawl.
They have kids now. They live in BC.
But the thing is, there's a myth about creativity. You know the song...
You're never going to write a song that way.
You know the book The Artist's Way, which is on our website, by the way. Check it out. The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron.
If you don't know that book, you should buy it now.
Yeah, The Artist's Way, it got me writing, and I actually ended up within a year of having a recorded album, from like zero to a recorded album. And what she is basically arguing for is this whole thing of alcohol, drugs, drama. You do not need to be creative. It's a myth, right? Yeah. It actually holds you back.
And if you're a professional, you write when you're constantly writing.
You get up in the morning and you write. It's a job, right?
Yeah.
And we've had so many sad cases of losing people at 27, you know, the 27-year-old rule. Yeah. So you kids out there, you know, the thing is, to be creative, to be an artist, you can also have a balanced, good life. In fact, you should, because if you're in it for the long term, and it usually takes a long term, the overnight sensations usually took 10 to 15 years to get there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Jan Arden worked in bars for like 8 years, the worst bars in Calgary and all over, and then suddenly she had a recording contract in the 90s, and whew, but she was not an overnight sensation, and very few are.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. One of my favorite all-time bands, Rush. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like middle-class kids that grew up in the suburbs. No drama, you know, just like regular guys. Yeah, Rush. They went to your high school.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
they actually did, but
I
wasn't there.
Yeah, and they made a career out of writing without having any drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, it's important to not fall victim to the stereotype. Types. I've known a couple of people who wanted to, you know, I'm a rock star and I'm going to drink myself stupid.
Live fast,
all the time.
Die young kind of thing.
Like, and that's just that's just annoying, actually. You just like nobody wants to be around you, you know?
Well, the thing is to, you know, for you songwriters out there, if you make a decision to make this something you're going to do for serious, you probably need a second job, right? At least
that's true.
If you're going to be serious about the songwriting, study the ones who have lasted, the songwriters have really lasted, because they get up every day before they would go to work. I read the stories of a lot of people who had to do a day job, whatever it was, right? We all have day jobs here. But every morning they'd get up and they'd do some work on the song, or in the evening they'd make time for it. And what's the worst that happens? It becomes a loved hobby. It becomes something you love to do. What's wrong with that?
Absolutely. Stephen King wrote his first album on his knees in
first
a closet.
Novel?
His first novel. On his knees in a closet.
Why?
So... Because he had no, they were living in a trailer, and they had no other room.
Oh,
so he actually worked.
Was he praying at the time or just writing?
No,
he was cramped.
Yeah, he was working. He had a full-time job and he did it in his spare time.
That's a
so he
passion.
Did it on his knees in a closet. So so out there, you have no excuse.
Wow.
Yeah.
We don't recommend that.
Don't get on your knees.
And don't be in a closet. Your life is too short. Just come out.
But if you don't have any room to write, then
yes, always. Yeah.
So are you guys planning, we're going to be playing around like live or?
Where could people see
Gigging?
You?
Gigging?
Yeah, actually, I'm playing a lot of jazz gigs because I'm with the jazz band, Etobicoke Jazz Band, and but I do the side shows as well. Like I perform at different bars, and I'm hoping to do that more often. So, and I'll make sure to have my friend.
Before we go there, Richard, where can people find out? Do you have a website or?
Yeah, my music is going to be available on my Facebook page. If you go to Richard Hunting Richard Hunting Music.
On
Facebook.
And that'll get them there, and they can download on Spotify and iTunes, I imagine. Is that where it's going to end up, or is it going to be on Facebook? The actual MP3, the song.
Oh, the MP3? Oh, it's going to be available on most major...
everywhere.
Music engines. It's going to be like iTunes.
Spotify.
Spotify, Google Play,
in the jazz
everything.
Band, or are you just doing like standards
in
the jazz band?
You're the singer for the Etobicoke Jazz Band, right?
Yeah, I'm. We play like big band swing music, 30s and 40s jazz.
Are you the guitarist or the lead singer?
I'm one of the lead singers. We have a group of five.
Oh.
And I perform like bass part, basically.
Okay, so
if we go to Richard
Hunting Music on
Facebook?
What's that called? That it's going to be out of style soon.
Facebook,
Facebook. It's not going to last. Yeah. So they can find out where you're gigging with the Etobicoke Band as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. And David Maravich, where can people find your music, including your collaborations?
Yeah, for sure. So people can find me online, YouTube and SoundCloud, at David Maravich Music.
Want to spell the last name this way?
For sure. So the last name is M-Mary, P-I-R-O, is in Victor, I-C-H.
Okay.
So David Maravich Music.
And we'll put that on our website. And I hear the band. Does that mean we have to wrap up
it's
now?
It's time to go.
Oh, it goes so fast when you're having a good time here on radio.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for coming out. That's all the time we seem to have on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. It always happens. There we go. We'd like to thank our guests tonight, Richard Hunting and David Maravich.
Thank you, guys.
You can send us your impressions about the show via Twitter at Song Talk Radio. Email is feedback@songtalk.ca. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube at Song Talk Radio. We have our own YouTube channel, for God's sake. How good is that? And you can stop by the good old website. They're still around, songtalk.ca, where all the shows, including this one, will be posted. Subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or at Stitcher.com. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. What's the recent article? Something about the fifths.
Yeah, the perfection of the perfect fifth.
Yeah, beautiful article. And we plead the fifth. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca. And when you order through there, we profit. So thank you. And if you're in the Toronto area, not much, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup Sunday, September 23rd from 1 to 4 at the Transact Club. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link to the Songwriters Meetup. Is that you, Neil, in September, or Phil? It's one of you.
It is Phil.
It's me.
Phil, great, Phil. Phil
I'll
will
be
there,
though, I think.
Thanks to Vanessa Vreeland for handling the social media.
Thank you,
Vanessa.
Round of applause.
And to the lovely and talented Linda Lavender for his special touch on the soundboard. And most of all, we'd like to thank you, the home listener, wherever you're listening. You can follow me at bruceharrett.com. You can follow Phil at
The Phil Emery on Twitter.
Vanessa at
underscore Vanessa on Twitter.
Neil.
NeilMody.com.
And Linda.
LindaLavender.com.
Please, again, stop by the website, songtalk.ca. It's where everything really starts. Browse the past shows. Find out how you two could be a guest on our next show.
You two's going to be a guest on our next show?
Yes, we hope so.
Bono? Bono's coming?
All they have to do is fill out the form. Keep on writing. Goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you very much.